Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Brother Calvin. This edition of Trillion Dollar Flow. We're going to go into Ponzi schemes. Ponzi schemes and financial scams that weighs on us spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Okay, this episode of Trillion Dollar Flow is brought to you by the Seed of Abraham Ministries, helmed by Bishop T. Turner. You can reach him at his website, which is theseedofabraham.yolasite.com, or you can give him a call at 773-577.
Relationships don't work between black people. Racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive. Racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor education in the hood you live in. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think. Racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion.
From L.A. to Miami. Minnesota. Detroit. Chicago. Alabama.
$1 trillion flow coming from Egypt, coming from the mother country, Africa.
for New York and Chicago, the birthplace of Malcolm X, the birthplace of Martin Luther King, Dusab. I've got the $1 trillion flow, the slave train. I'm talking about all laws done by Robeson, the slave train, the $1 billion flow. You and me, me and you. Poor and rich. We are rich because we're in the $1 billion flow. Yeah, you can have that new Ben. Yeah, you can have that Beamer. $1 trillion flow. From LA to Miami. Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, Alabama. New Orleans, Billsville, Memphis, $1 billion flow. People of Maryland flow. Atlanta, Georgia flow. $1 billion flow. Over enough. Enough for everybody. It was made for us to be rich. Made for us to be bullion. People of color. People have melanin. You ask not, you have not. We ask you for what's ours. We are calling for you, you and you, to come into the $1 billion flow. New car, new home. New land, new expression. A new philosophy. A new love. $1 billion flow. $1 trillion flow. We are able to have more money than the government, because we are the government. $1 trillion flow coming from Egypt. Coming from the mother country, Africa, to New York and Chicago, the birthplace of Malcolm X, the birthplace of Martin Luther King, Dusab. I've got $1 trillion flow. The slave train. I'm talking about Paul Lawrence done by Robeson. The slave train. The $1 billion flow. You and me. Me and you. Poor and rich. We are rich because we're in the $1 billion flow. Yeah, you can have that new Ben. Yeah, you can have that Beamer. Yes, you can have that Rose. Yes, you can have that Cadillac. Yes, you can have that up on the hill, up in New York, up in California, out in Oakland, Compton, L.A.
God bless you tonight. We're talking about the $1 trillion flow tonight. Brother Fred up in Oakland, California, in jail for life. Doors open up for him. So we're praying for that. Okay. Now, one of the things I'm saying tonight, the independent black truckers, so they will be driving up to Washington, D.C. about this visa problem. Trucker driver out of Mississippi, out of Louisiana, Arkansas, and Illinois. And the independent truck driver, so they will be sometime March, they'll be going to Washington, Hunter Strong truck driver, the independent black truck driver, be doing that. And I got a letter from them today. We're talking about a birth of the nation. Now, it's something when victims being shot, being killed, and nobody care about them. And those that are doing the killing is going free. Brother Fred called me in Oakland, California, his sister. He was in jail back in the day when they called police pigs. And he called a couple of police pigs. He's in jail now for life. And we're working with some brothers up in Oakland, California, in Compton, California, Los Angeles, to get some of them brothers out of prison for nothing. He in Illinois working to get Jeff Ford out, working to get Larry Hoover out. They are political prisoners, and the rest of them been dead, so this government. So we've been working since 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24, support the SCLC, MG, Mark Garvey Movement, MX, Malcolm X Movement, MLK Movement, Dr. King Movement, and other community organizations during this Black History Week. That's why we're talking about that. I want to salute WSO, the Westside Organization, Reverend A.I. Dunlap, Mother Annie Bacon, who head of the Woodlawn Sisterhood, Sister Pee Wee, who worked with the Woodlawn Sisterhood, and Sister and Brother Benny, that who helped start the Dr. Martin Luther King Movement. Those that marched in Marquette Park, those that marched in Cicero for the rights of Black folks here in Chicago, the West Side Organization, North Side Organization, and all those brothers that marched, the Vice Lords that marched, brothers with Black Peace Stone, they marched, and the disciples, they marched. We marched down in order to try to get Black men, get the union to put Black men to work construction work, to do labor, and they wouldn't give them. Reverend Al Sampson and the Black Trade Union, in order to put Black carpenters, bricklayers, operating engineers, those that drive the bulldozers. And we're finding out now with all this work that's going on in our neighborhood, ain't nobody Black working. We have to bring that back going into March, that if we don't work, don't nobody work. Let me say it again. If we don't work, ain't nobody work. You ain't got to snatch and grab nothing. We just want the job. And all them snatching and grabbing and them boys are taking cars from our senior women, that's going to be broke up. And I want to tell you, on Saturday, we'll be at the Grand Ballroom, 6351 Cottage, the birth of a new nation. We're talking about stop the killing, save the babies. And if jobs come in our neighborhood, we got to have it. I don't know what the alderman is doing. And I heard from the people on the east side, they stopped for this junkyard to be in the heart of the Mexican and brown communities. They don't want no garbage put in their community, and that's good. We have to come together, and we have to begin to understand Blacks are losing power because we are doing not what we ought to do. So the $1 trillion flow talking about the money that you can have and get. I'm praying for you and you tonight. God bless you. I'm getting ready, and I'm going to be with them truckers march up in Washington. I'll be one of them rigs. Brother Robert, he drive his rig. And Brother Hampton drive his rig going to watch the Black independent truck drivers. Okay, they've been catching hell all along. But now gas is so high. Diesel is so high they can't make no money. So somebody got to bring the diesel and the gas down. Okay. That's what happened. And now, I'm praying for all those people that lost loved ones by shooting and going on, called what we're saying in March, the Rifle Association, the Western say, those companies, those factories that make those guns got to be responsible for the people being killed in America. And the most Black folks get killed. Here's a lady in Minnesota shoot a guy, kill him. He get 2 years. She get 2 years. Here's a boy shooting in the park and killed a girl. He get 85 years. Murder is murder anywhere. If no justice, no peace. We seeking justice. And we're seeking it. I want to say to you tonight, God bless you. Meet me at the ballroom tomorrow, 7 o'clock. That's Saturday. Reverend Al Sampson's going to be there. Jonathan Jackson going to be there. He's running for congressman. He's going to be there. And it's time for a black agenda in Chicago. Time for a black agenda. Where you going? What you doing? It's time that we begin to take our neighborhood back from the robbers, the stealers, the killers. The kids walking around with guns. The boy gets shot 24 times. Don't nobody send. Ain't nobody marching. Ain't nobody doing nothing. It's time for us to take our community back. Black men, stand up. Black women, stand up. Oh, and that's very important. We had 2 or 3 women get killed, and nobody said nothing. We got about 5 or 10 women are missing. Black, not brown, not white. When a white gets missing, the FBI and everybody come in. It's time for the black community to stand up. And we got to start right here in Chicago, Illinois. And that's one of the things. Tonight, friend Rose, I'm praying for you tonight. Janice will be there. Dr. David Coleman will be there. Reverend Al Sampson will be there. And we're looking for Al Sharpton to be there from New York. But we're looking for a host of people to come. And the mothers that have lost their children, they're going to be there. So this is a gathering. And then the organization, Marcus Garvey Movement, going to be there. Malcolm X Movement going to be there. Dr. Martin Luther King, all this is going to be there. The WSO will be there. And SCLC and other community organizations, Rainbow Push, will probably be there. Because we need to come together and get an agenda. Time for you to take your neighborhood back from the criminals. And if they police their criminals, we're talking about those rogue police that shooting and killing and get off. 16 shots. Man get 2 years, lady killed the man, and she get 2 years and gonna be out, and the judge come out, it's so pitiful. It ain't pitiful murder, it's just murder. But I'm looking, we gotta put more black on the bench, more black judges, that people that look like us in our neighborhood, more black doctors and lawyers. People like us need to be empowered. I say. Now, tonight, this is Black History Month, but every month should be Black History Month. The mass murder down and right now, they're going through the boy that shot tomorrow's boy, and then right there in Brookhaven, Mississippi. Yeah, Brookhaven, Mississippi. More killing of blacks happened in Mississippi and Alabama than anywhere in the United States. But now, here's a guy got a United Parts Post on living packages. Police says it's a black man. Now she said it's a nigga in the neighborhood. They started shooting at him, got the crook up, and he got away. Police didn't even want to arrest the two. Okay? So what happened? This in Brookhaven, Mississippi. Some of y'all from Brookhaven, Mississippi. And it's a black town. But racism is still real in America. I say, get ready for a blessing and get ready for a door opener for you. We had a tornado down, and tornado was in Birmingham and throughout that way. Up here we had snow and the road was all tied up. You know, Marcus Garvey said, I'm coming in a storm, a whirlwind. I'm coming to justice be took care of. Now, what I'm saying, and I'm going to keep saying this till you start saying it, we need reparations. They put the Japanese in camp, and when they got out, they gave them reparations. That means they got business. That means you see all these Chinese stores, and they got Chinatown, gave them reparations. The Italian got reparations. You see all these Jews got the mosques, and they got plenty of money. Because the government gave them money, reparation. Everybody got reparation but the black man for slavery. We was here for all them people come, but they got money and started their business. We still suffering. Right, black folks still suffering. And Biden said when he get in, he gonna let tuition be free. He ain't did it yet. So we looking for a breakthrough. I wanna talk tonight a little bit about Kings. Y'all didn't notice him. Hawaii was African. Y'all think Hawaii, it was king and princess in Hawaii. And the queen of Hawaii said, I'm going to yield because I want to save my people. Black folks, black like me and you, ran Hawaii. They come from Africa to Hawaii. Hawaii was just like an oasis. Hawaii. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Hawaii, what you know. But I want you to know, get ready for a breakthrough. And you can call the radio station at 515-605-5980. I'm going to try to get you hooked up with the truck drivers, SCLC, the Marcus Garvey Movement, and Malcolm X Movement, Dr. King Movement. You need to be cooked with something trying to bring our people back to some realization. Okay, your sons and your daughters walk out the store might get killed because you got sick folks out here. And they all ain't black, some of them white too. You know, what I'm saying, the shooting and the killing, the innocent. And here's a young man, 12, 13, jacking cars. And ain't nobody said nothing about the killing that go on in Chicago, Detroit, killing going in Minnesota, and down south in Arkansas, Memphis, Texas. The black on black. On the weekend, you know about 2,000 blacks get killed on the weekend, black on black. The Klan ain't killing. We killing each other. This nation that we have said should be a blessing for the women, for the men, and for a business, to set up your business and get ready to go into a new business. It's time for us to come together. We got blacks been here all their life. You got people coming in from other countries and pass you by because government getting money, food stamps, getting a medical card, and give them a job. And when it comes to you, it ain't no job. Black man, black woman. But I'm saying tonight that we need to create our own climate, stop fighting each other, and begin to take charge of our businesses that we have. And can't nobody make you be business mind but you. You got to understand, you come out of slavery, and some of you still in slavery. You don't enslave your mind so that you can't go nowhere. But I'm asking you to get ready for going into March and April and May to resurrect your business, resurrect your family. And right now, let me ring the bell. So everybody in the spirit realm, this is Black History Month. You might have a mother, father, sister, brother, they passed on. We are our ancestors, and we the only race that don't respect our ancestors, but all other couples, they respect the ancestors. They go to the grave. But we the only one taboo, and it comes from us, Egypt, Africa. Come from up. What I'm saying to you tonight, white supremacy and racism is real. And they done told you that you was nobody, you ain't going nowhere. You done bought it. Your children ain't no good. Your husband ain't no good. The wife ain't no good. They try to destroy the black family. But we want to resurrect the black family Dr. Killen saved the baby, and the brother that's in jail. Now, here's two police. One shot him 16 times. He got 3 years. He didn't do but 1 year. Here's a lady got 2 years. She's going to do 6 months. She out. They murders black folks. But it's all right. As long as you ain't killing white folks, it's all right. You kill black, brown folks, it's all right. Little kids being shot. Now, this is the police doing it, but I'm talking about the black-on-black killing, the brown-on-brown killings, okay? Brown folks cutting and killing each other. We have to refrain from that and go into the trillion-dollar flow. And the trillion-dollar flow, talking about finance and money, the trillion-dollar flow.
Relationships don't work between black people. Racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive. Racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor.
Now, what Jahi was saying, because of this white supremacy, they run the government, they run economics, they run business. So white supremacy run it all. And when you try to do something from it, they put you in prison. Okay, now just like he got life. He didn't kill nobody. He just called a bunch of police pigs. Okay, now Jeff ain't killed nobody, but he's running a business. Larry didn't kill nobody, but the fake news put like they was monsters. You know, they put Jeff Ford and Larry Hoover like they were worse than Al Capone. And they ain't got no organization like that. But this how they paint it. And you at home, who they so bad. They so bad. They know the dangers that Trump and his son dealing money and having stuff done, taking, what the difference? All them people went to the White House. They wasn't black folks, they were white folks. They stormed the White House. They sat in the chair. Kill Pence, kill Pence. Ain't nobody been to prison for life for doing that. Now here's somebody, I speculate they killed him. They just got one of the dailies. They just got him. But there's so much going to happen. They just not for lying. They've been lying all the time. Lying to you, lying to me, lying to our. The lie was that we were supposed to get reparations. Ain't nobody talking about it. Nixon didn't talk about it. Biden didn't talk about it. Obama didn't talk about it. Huh? And Bush didn't talk about it. When's somebody going to talk about the black agenda? When's somebody going to talk about reparations for the black that worked in the cotton fields of Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Georgia? When's somebody going to say, we need reparations? For what, Bishop? For our ancestors. If you had the money that they lost in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we already had business. We had dentist shops. We had churches. We had black banks. But a few white races, 300 of them, come and kill at wholesale, and didn't nobody do nothing. The government never did. The government never acknowledged what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. What happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma happened to me and you. That's why. Right now, you got black folks can't start no business because the bank will not get them a loan. But they get General Motors a loan. They get Chrysler a loan. They get a bank loan. But company individuals, they won't give you a loan. And you go buy a car. The insurance in your neighborhood right now is higher than the one in the suburbs right now. Don't believe it? Check it out. Go to the bank and get a loan. You can't get no loan if your skin black. But if you're white, you can walk in there and get a loan. If they give you a loan and you're black, they want to know your grandma's name, your great-grandma's name. They want to know everything. But a white boy walk in there with a suit and tie on and walk out with $100,000 to start a business in your neighborhood. And you can't get a dime to set up a paper stand in your neighborhood. That's what we're up against. But I want to tell you, Madoff got all that money with the Ponzi scheme. You know, it's been a Ponzi scheme with us for a long time. They've been doing Ponzi scheme. The government, they gave the Native American money. They gave every race money, Italian, the Jew, everyone that came over from another country, Italian, they got money. And even the Japanese came over. In World War II, they put them in the country, but when they let them out, they gave money. They ain't gave us money to our ancestors yet. They ain't even paid for what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Look it up. Black Wall Street. What they did, they took the name and stole it and called Wall Street up in New York. They stole that from black folks. Always stealing. But one of the things I want to say, God said high and he looked low. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop talking about it. Tell your children. Now, tonight, I want to bring something to you tonight that might open your eyes to what happened in Hawaii. See? And I want you to understand what happened in Hawaii, that we had King, you know, you didn't have to go to Africa. We had King come from Africa that was running Hawaii to the American come over and took it over. You know, anywhere they go, you know they take over. You know that. You know they do that. And you know they take over. And that's what happened. And what I'm saying to you, I want you to be able to understand what happened. And once you understand what happened, you know what to do to get yourself together and come to the place. Now, I want to put this down, Mary. Revelation 2, Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, Revelation 12, verse 7, Revelation 13, Psalm 37, Pearl, Psalm 35. I want to talk about the king and princes of Hawaii. That we had, you know, lots of people don't know. Black people from Africa went to Hawaii. Hawaiian is nothing but black folks.
But thou art rich. Welcome to the Black Excellence and Abundance Channel. A little known fact, which I believe is deliberately ignored by modern anthropologists and historians, is that the natives of Hawaii, America's 50th state, were black people from Africa. The story of black Hawaii is one of the most intriguing of modern times. It is the tale of an enlightened paradise turned into a cultural nightmare. It is one of America's perpetual secrets, and we must venture into antiquity to learn the roots of the black Hawaiian. This black culture once brightened the Pacific for over 2,000 years. Most anthropologists, paleontologists, and archaeologists around the world generally believe that human beings evolved on the continent of Africa from 3 to 5 million years ago, and that they eventually spread from Africa into Europe, Asia, the Pacific Islands, and finally the Americas. In time, these black settlers developed very advanced societies and sent navigators to explore and settle various islands of the Pacific Ocean. They reached such places as New Guinea, Fiji, New Hermit, New Society Island, Tahiti, Easter Island, and South. The first people to reach was from Hawaii, actually Polynesia. They sailed to Hawaii break of 2,000. The Hawaiians and their neighbors in the Pacific have long been the subject of controversy among scientists. The people in this part of the world are generally divided into three groups. Melanesians, who are an unmixed black people, Micronesians, which is also an ancient black group, and the Aboriginal Polynesians. All three groups are black people. The black people themselves are an ethnological cousin. Many, like the Tasmanians, who were exterminated by English settlers were pure blacks. The basic skin of the original Hawaiians as seen in their color and their faces, writes historian J.A. Rogers in the book Sex and Race, Negro-Caucasian Mixing in All Ages and All Lands, was undoubtedly Negro, with an admixture of Mongolians. These people were of black and brown complexions with wavy and close-curled hair, broad facial features, and fine physiques. In short, they had the same physical characteristics as millions of other people who now live in the Pacific Islands. Now this is a quote from the book by J.A. Rogers, Sex and Race. Negro-Caucasian mixing in all ages and all lands. According to one early legend, these early settlers named their home New Hawaii in honor of a chief named Hawaii Lua, who is said to have led the Polynesians to the islands. But the name Hawaii is also recognized as a form of Hawaiian homeland. The ancient island of Hawaii was much like an African society. It was a series of islands ruled by strong-willed chiefs or kings who believed that they had descended from God. A court genealogist similar to the African griot cited names, family exploits, battles, and past glories of a proud people and their royal leaders. Hawaiian life revolved around religious ceremonies. Believe it or not, folks, right here in America, there were many black African kings and queens in Hawaii. People like King Kamehameha, Queen Ka'ahumanu'umanu, Kamehameha Halehaleho, King David Kalakalua, just to name a few, and there were plenty of them. Closely linked to Hawaiian religious traditions was the kapu, or the law administered by the king. It was a rigid system of rules and guides, do's and don'ts, what's and what not's, governing events from lovemaking and marriage to the season of catching certain fish. It separated kings from commoners, men from women, and Hawaiians from foreigners. It was probably one of the most complex legal systems of the ancient world. If ever there was a paradise on earth, the Hawaiians appeared to have been. Blessed by a gorgeous climate, it was vast and the sun swam in clear water and participated in competitive games and sports. They worked in order to live, but there was a fine line between work and play. Fishing, for example, was as much as a water sport as it was a source of attainment. These industrious people shaped the no one was without food, and everyone found shelter in the marvelous hut built mainly from the leaves of palms and hollow trees. People worked, swam, sang and danced, isolated from most of the rest of the world, writes Maxine Martin in the book Hawaiian Years. Yes, a monarchy right here in America, a black monarchy. But unfortunately, that was soon to be changed. The god would be discovered. Gone would be the sunny, static days of peace and war. During those times, Hawaii was not ruled by a single king, but it was a chain of islands which included Kauai, Maui, Oahu, Molokai, Lanai, Niihau, and Kahoolawe. Each island was ruled by a different monarch. All black. The last native ruler of Hawaii was the celebrated Queen Lilia Lokolani. Following the Queen's ascension to the throne in January of 1891, the Chicago newspaper writer Barry H. Crowder described Queen Lilia Lokolani as strong and resolute. Her features were strong, the complexion quite dark. The hair streaked with gray, and she had the large dark eyes of her race. Queen was a brilliant writer, poet, and composer who worked tirelessly for the welfare of her people. While she sought to strengthen the monarchy and to literally return Hawaii to the Hawaiians, years too late. American businesses and missionaries had strongholds in every corner of the Hawaiian culture. Queen stood steadfastly against the U.S. forces, but finally, in January of 1893, she yielded to the protest and was reported in the Pacific Commercial Advisor on January 18th as saying, "I, Lilia Lokolani, by the grace of God and under the Constitution of the Hawaiian Kingdom, Queen, hereby solemnly protest against any and all acts done against myself and the constitutional government of the Hawaiian Kingdom by certain persons claiming to have established a provisional government of and for the kingdom. Now, to avoid any collision of all forces and perhaps the loss of life, I do under this protest and impel that forth to yield my authority until such time as the government of the United States shall upon faction be presented to undo the actions of its representatives and reinstate me in the authority I claim as the constitutional sovereign of the Hawaiian Islands." So in 1893, she relinquished her throne to save her people and to preserve the islands. The United States never chose to undo the actions of its representatives. In fact, 1900, Hawaii had become a territory of the United States. And in 1959, Hawaii became the 50th state. In 1993, President Bill Clinton signed Public Law 103-150, which is a legislation apologizing for the U.S.'s role in the 1893 overthrow of the Kingdom of Hawaii. The apology meant as a means of reconciliation with Native Hawaiians acknowledges the historic significance of the event. But
the American people apologized, government apologized, they took over Hawaii. Hawaii was black. And right now you have more Japanese and other foreign people over there than Africans. But Hawaii was black. This is something black history for you, black. Hawaii was black, and I just want you to understand that it was black, and it was black folks that ran it. But you have to understand that how serious it was to have black folks to run Hawaii, and to know that it's important. Even St. Peter was black. St. Peter was black. So sometimes you have to look and see what's been done to black folks. If you know that work, you know the work and the riches of God. St. Peter in the Catholic Church right now is black. And once you understand that black, you understand this Black History Month.
There are those who say there was never a black pope. However, that's not true. According to research done by Dr. Leroy Long, MD, MBA, historian, humanitarian, editor-in-chief, he reported in his book, Black people have their place in world history, and that black moments in Africa made significant contributions to the growth of Christianity and the development of the Roman Catholic. According to Dr. Bond, 3:14. He was Pope when Constantine the Great defeated his enemies and assumed control over Rome, paving the way to the end of persecution of Christians. Constantine gave the Pope the Lateran Palace, now known as the Papal Archbasilica of St. John Lateran, which became the papal residence and seat of the Christian governance. He was the last pope to be buried in a catacomb. His feast day is December 10th. And the third African pope, Pope Gelasius I, 492-496. He was the first pope to be called the Vicar of Christ. He is most famous for affirming the primacy of the papal based on Jesus' command named in Peter, the rock of the church. He promoted a type of separation of church and state, but emphasized that church authority is always superior to civil law. He ordered reception of the Eucharist on the both species, and he used his own funds and the papal funds to feed the poor of Rome during a severe famine. His feast day is November 21st. Now here's a picture of St. Peter in the Vatican. St. Peter, also known as Simon Peter, Simeon, Simon, Cephas, or Peter the Apostle, was one of the 12 apostles of Christ and one of the first leaders of the early Roman Church. According to tradition, the first Gentile church was founded in Antioch, and that can be located in the book of Acts 11. 20 and 21, where it's recorded that disciples of Christ was first called Christians. It was a great central point for where missionaries from the Gentiles were sent. St. Peter, as he is known in the Catholic Church, he is counted as the first bishop of Rome, or the first pope, and also by Eastern Christian tradition as the first bishop of Antioch. The ancient Christian churches all regard Peter as a major saint and as the founder of the Church of Antioch and the Diocese of Rome. I repeat, Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, was known as the first pope. So perhaps we should be talking about the four popes, the four African popes, because Peter, no doubt, was a black Hebrew Israelite, just like all of the disciples, all of the disciples of Christ. Now, what I find interesting about this, like people call themselves Christians, but Peter was a Hebrew. He wasn't a Christian. Neither was Jesus. Jesus was a Hebrew from the tribe of Judah. So a lot of people call themselves Christians and followers of Christ, but Jesus himself was not a Christian. Neither was Peter. Be that as it may, in the church at Antioch, there were certain prophets. Included in those prophets was Simeon, who was called Niger. And as we stated earlier, St. Peter was also known as Simon Peter, Simeon, Simon, Cephas, Peter the Apostle. So was this the same Peter? Was this the same Peter that was called Niger? We know Niger is a derivative of the N-word. Those who say that Peter was called that. So that requires more research on my part. But I'm asking if any of you know, if you can answer that question, is Simeon, is that St. Peter? In Acts chapter 13 and 1, it mentions Simeon, who was called Niger. Is that the same Peter? Let me know in the comments. We would also like to point out that we are not Catholic. No sense in the word, we are Hebrews, we know that we are Hebrews. And we have nothing against any religion. People are free to worship as they choose. So this is not an endorsement for or against the Catholic religion. It is just stating of the fact. The fact that it was four popes, I might add. When you consider that Peter was actually the first pope. And I will challenge anybody to please, tell me otherwise. But the research that we have uncovered shows us that there were four folks, including St.
That's very important to understand that. That's very important to understand. That was for black folks. Well, you won't feel like you lost out. You feel like you have missed something. But I want to say, you come from a rich black history, black folks. And you have to understand the history that you come from. Dr. King talked about the other American. And then I had the Paris sisters to sing that, and I think I have to sing tonight. We're wrapping up Black History Month to be able to understand the power of you, the man, the woman. And love is the key to breaking down the racial barrier in your life. If you and your husband fighting, or you and your boyfriend, or you and your family, stop and pause and say, now, why are we arguing? When we come from a rich family and we live in a rich country. This America is the richest country in the world. They got a white and they got a black. Got a white judge and a black judge. You're seeing it every day in front of us. You see it happening. I'm going to play just a little of this of Dr. King talking about the other America. Just a little of that, when Dr. King was speaking at the church and talking about too, that we have to change what we're doing and how we do it. I'm praying tonight for you. With every door closed, oh, did I give you a Psalm 15, Psalm 65?
Members of the faculty and members of the student body of this great institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there are several things that one could talk about before such a large, concerned, and enlightened audience. There are so many problems facing our nation and our world that one could just take off anywhere. But today I would like to talk mainly about the race problem, since I'll have to rush right out and go to New York to talk about Vietnam tomorrow, and I've been talking about it a great deal this week and weeks before that. But I'd like to use as a subject from which to speak this afternoon the other America. And I use this subject because there are literally two Americas. One America is beautiful for situation. In any sense, this America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, culture and education for their minds, freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the
pursuit. Dr. King was talking about the other Americans and what's happening with the other Americans. But I want the Barrett sisters to take us off there. And Dr. King, this history month, I want to always look up black entertainment. This is the Bear sister, Jesus love me. I'm praying for you in Mississippi, Arkansas, those that under the flood, under the tornado. I'm praying for you Sister Dorothy Young, Milton, I'm praying for you tonight. Every letter, every telephone call. If you got a need, plant a seed for your need. I want God to give you what you need. Go to my website, theseedabrahamyellowstripe.com, or you can call me and be involved in what we're trying to do around the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him tonight shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm praying for you, you and you. I'm praying for your healing, your deliverance. I'm praying for your breakthrough. Carrie, I'm praying for you. The Barry sisters, yes, Jesus loved me, for the Bible tell me so. Now, if you can't get to the Bible, revelation knowledge will tell you the same thing. The anointing.
Thank you. did so.